Continuing discussion of Bhaktivatsala, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is so kind and loving and protecting and caring of his devotees. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we have learned that we are to love God, not to fear him, not to desire anything from him, simply to love him because he is so loving. In the last session, I finished by quoting, "The Lord is conquered by loving devotion alone and nothing else." So this is quite a sensational statement in the realm of theism, that how the supreme, unchallengeable, all-powerful, all-conquering Supreme Lord is conquered. How is he conquered? Not by Satan. In the Abrahamic religions, they have the idea of Satan, who is an eternal competitor and rival, and with God, who is just causing him problems all the time. But there's no such Satan. Evil, the personification of evil, cannot, there's no question of the personification of evil taking over the position of the all-powerful, all-good God. But he can be conquered by the goodness of a devotee, the goodness of a devotee manifesting as love for Krishna. The Lord is conquered by loving devotion alone and by nothing else. Now, what kind of loving devotion, what is it? What standard do we have to come to? In this regard, I'm going to quote from a verse from Gautamiya Tantra, which is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, as having come to the mind of Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu, when he wanted to force Krishna, that means to overcome him by love, to force Krishna to come to this world, because he thought that this world really needs Krishna. The people of this world are so fallen and so far away from Krishna. I mean, I'm also, Advaita Acharya thought, I'm also Mahavishnu, but I'm not good enough. We need Krishna. We really need Krishna. He has to come. So what am I going to do? How can I force Krishna? Already I did by killing all the children born to a Brahmana in Dwaraka, but I can't do that again now. That's when Krishna was present. I forced Krishna to come with Arjuna to see me, but that won't work now. What am I going to do? And then a verse came to his mind from Gautamiya Tantra, Tulasi Dalama Traina Jalasya Chulukena Va Vikrini Te Swam Atmanam Bhaktebhyo Bhaktavatsalaha. He's Bhaktavatsala. He loves his devotees. Translation of this verse given by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers merely a tulasi leaf and a palmful of water. Sounds very easy. Sounds very easy. Patrang pushpang, here we have. Patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upaharitam ashnami prayatatmana. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that if one offers me with love, with bhakti, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept his devotion. And then in this verse from Gautamiya Tantra, we have the leaf and the water. There's no flower or fruit mentioned. And there's not even devotion mentioned. But that is the critical point. There has to be devotion. Tulsi leaf. When Krishna says, offer me a leaf, especially, of course, he likes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very fond of what Srila Prabhupada translates as green leafy preparations, different kinds of shak, of which there are so many varieties grow in Bengal, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very fond of them, but among all the leaves, he likes tulsi leaves. Among all the flowers, he likes tulsi flower, tulsi manjari. So here we find that simply by offering a leaf and some water, Krishna becomes so pleased that he gives himself to a devotee. But of course, the vital factor here is devotion. And it takes devotion to believe that God can be satisfied with such a simple offering, that I don't have to make such a huge dum-dham, what's the word for that? Ostentatious offering. I don't have to do that. Because even if I offer heaps of gold to Krishna, what is it to him? He's the proprietor of everything anyway. So leaf and water, yeah, it means it's very simple, and it shows this simple love. It symbolizes the simple love of the devotee. And Krishna likes tulsi leaves. He likes if we offer him a little water. He's a person. So bhakti is the vital factor here. Is it so very easy to have Krishna sell himself to his devotee? I'm going to read from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, texts 21 and 22, with translation and commentary by, guess who? His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna uvacha, senayor ubhayo madhye ratang sthapya mechuta, yavad etan nirikshayam yodhu kaman avastitan, karmaya sahayodhavyam asmin rana samudyame. Arjuna said, O infallible one, Achyuta, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I may see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. Purport. Although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his causeless mercy, he was engaged in the service of his friend. He never fails in his affection for his devotees, and thus he is addressed herein as infallible. So the name Achyuta is given. There's another name in Vishnu Sahasranam. He who is infallible, he who doesn't fall down, who is not defeated. But he's infallible in what sense? Here, attention is being drawn to the point that he is infallible, he's completely reliable in what sense? Krishna, completely reliable? You mean that Krishna who told Yudhishthira to tell a lie, who plays and jokes with the gopis and steals their clothes, who from his very early childhood is just the most frustrating kind of child, very naughty child. Reliable, Krishna, God is reliable, Ram is reliable, but Krishna, yes, he is reliable in this sense, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakti prayachati. He, on this point, everything else he may be unpredictable, but predictably, infallibly, he will uphold the dignity of his devotees, he will protect his devotees, he will see that his devotees are not defeated, even if he himself has to be defeated. He didn't. The famous example, Arjuna was being attacked so powerfully by Bhishma that Arjuna was going to be defeated. And Krishna said, Krishna already told Arjuna to declare it, that my devotee will never be defeated, and Arjuna is about to get defeated. And Krishna told Arjuna also in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. I'm speaking this topmost secret knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to you because you are my devotee and my friend. And Krishna, he himself had given his word not to pick up any weapon and fight, but he picked up a weapon, Ratangapani. He became famous by picking up the wheel of a chariot which had become disconnected and went to attack Bhishma because his word may be broken. Now he's, see, Arjuna, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he was in what's called the Dharma Sankat, where if you follow one principle of dharma, then you'll break another. You're in a bind. You're in a lose-lose situation. If I fight as I'm expected to fight in this battle, I will have to fight and attempt to kill my gurus. Now, so to attempt to kill your gurus is against principles of dharma. But having assembled in the battlefield as a kshatriya, I have to fight, and if I don't fight, I'll be breaking dharma. So either way, I'm breaking dharma. Now, Krishna was also in a dharma sankat. If I don't protect Arjuna, then he'll be killed. And I already promised that, I promised that my devotee will never be killed. So if I don't fight, now, if I don't pick up a weapon and attack Bhishma, then my promise will be broken. But if I do pick up a weapon and attack Bhishma, then my promise will be broken. Another promise, that I won't fight in this battle. So Krishna, without any hesitation, he didn't require someone to come and speak some other version of Bhagavad Gita to him, nor was there any time to think about it, without any hesitation. He jumped down from the chariot, picked up a wheel, and went to attack Bhishma. So he's infallible in the matter of protecting his devotee because he's bhaktavatsala. He never fails in his affection for his devotees. That means he's bhaktavatsala. Continuing reading from the purport. As charioteer, he had to carry out the orders of Arjuna. This is inconceivable to those who are fixated on Krishna being God. We have to discuss how Krishna is God, he's supreme, and then go. That's the highest understanding, isn't it? Bahunam jamanamante gyanavang mamprapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlaba. After many, many lifetimes of serious spiritual inquiry, an endeavor, one comes to the platform of understanding, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and surrendering to him. Okay, I made it. I thought it was all impersonal Brahman. Now I realize Krishna is supreme. Wait a minute. Okay, very good. Now you have to go up some more. Well, where do you go from there? Krishna's supreme. I'm his servant. Where do you go? There's no higher platform to go. Yeah, there's a little higher, little higher, little higher. Actually a lot higher, when we realize that, or that's some special mercy, we may not realize it by ourselves, that Krishna is supreme, yes, but he takes his supreme pleasure. And supreme means he's the supreme enjoyer, and his supreme enjoyment is in giving pleasure to his devotees, which often involves acting as if he is subordinate to them. So we go higher to Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, and then can interact with him and maybe come to the level of laughing and joking with him, as Arjuna was, not on the battlefield. It was a very serious and tense time for both of them. But otherwise, prasabhang yaduktam, I used to speak to you in a very demeaning way, "Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakha." I used to speak to you in a very familiar way. So Arjuna can do that, and that's when one has become very, very, very close to Krishna. So that's the highest, right? There's no, well, a little further to go. Then we have to go to Vrindavan. And then we come to what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. And that's also not spelled out even so very clearly. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radha Dasyam, position of, it's there, Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayo Dasu Das Anudasaha, but it's not spelled out so clearly. And so when we come to the very topmost level of spiritual realization, it's not for everyone, because Krishna has devotees. He also likes his cows. He also likes his buffaloes and his goats, and there's grass in Vrindavan. So there's room for everyone in every relationship with Krishna. But if we are to go to the highest level, then one has to take... Highest level means... There is taratamya, that's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that for the grass in Vrindavan, that's the highest, that's perfectly satisfied, being grass in Vrindavan. But the highest aspiration, parakashta siddhi, is to take birth as a young girl, maidservant of the maidservants, or join the group who are ultimately serving Radha. So one may serve them also as a blade of grass. To become a servant of the gopis, you can also become a blade of grass. Anyway, we're discussing here. As charioteer, he, Krishna, had to carry out the orders of Arjuna, and since he did not hesitate to do so, he is addressed as infallible. Krishna, there's no question in his mind. He just does it. That is part of his glory. For us to become a servant in this material world, it is generally considered inglorious to become a servant. Nokari choro vyapa koro. I remember seeing a big advertisement in the city of Surat, which is for centuries, it is a place of commerce and trade. So there's big signs, some money lending company. They get to say, "Nokari choro, give up paid service, vyapar koro, and do your own business." That was the sign. "Hamse loan le lo." That was the implication. Take a loan from us and you can start your own business. So the idea that nokari, that's not service, paid service, that is not very honorable. So Krishna, he doesn't do paid service. He out of love, he serves his devotees. And the whole of our Krishna consciousness, we're learning, imbibing, serving Krishna out of love. We're trying to imbibe this spirit. Nothing for me. Let me just do it out of love for Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates, "Let me serve my devotees." And he does it. He's a pure devotee. Krishna is a pure devotee of his devotees because he doesn't think, he doesn't have to go through philosophy, okay, let's think Vedanta Sutra, okay, and then, all right, and then, I'm supposed to serve my devotees. Natural for him. Therefore, infallible, Achyuta. So the names Achyuta and Bhaktavatsala, the harmonization, the coming together, the synchronicity of those of these two names we can derive from this verse and this purport. Continuing to read this purport, although he, Krishna, had accepted the position of a charioteer for his devotee, his supreme position was not challenged. This is wonderful. We think, oh, Bhagavad Gita, it's all very, you know, basic. I want to go somewhere higher. Well, this is very high. That Krishna is acting as the charioteer, as a servant of his devotee, but his supreme position is not challenged. He remains the Supreme Lord. These are wonderful things. In all circumstances, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hrishikesh, the Lord of the total senses. The relationship between the Lord and his servitor is very sweet and transcendental. Bhagavad Gita purport. Don't think there's no sweetness in Bhagavad Gita. It's very, very sweet. It's full of the mood of love for Krishna. The servitor is always ready to render service to the Lord, and similarly, the Lord is always seeking an opportunity to render some service to the devotee. He takes greater pleasure in his pure devotees assuming the advantageous position of ordering him than he does in being the giver of orders. Now, this word advantageous, it's a very interesting word in this regard, because advantageous, it gives the sense in the normal usage of the word, you'd mean that someone's trying to take advantage of someone else. Generally, it means a superior, if you're in an advantageous position, you're in a position to take advantage of someone else, to exploit them. But there's no question of exploitation in the dealings between Krishna and his devotees. There is hierarchy. In reality, there is hierarchy. Forget all this neo-Marxist codswaddle rubbish ideas. There is hierarchy. Even when two people meet, usually with, maybe if someone's a psychology student, they can recognize this. But if there isn't already an established relationship between them of who is superior and who is inferior, then immediately there's some who's going to take the superior position. In Indian culture, that's worked out that if you meet someone and then you find out what is their educational qualification, what is their caste, what is their age, and you work it all out and see who's superior. Otherwise, there is, who will talk and who will talk the most and who will listen. Who talks the most, that means they speak in a dominating voice and the other takes a role of being psychologically inferior. Maybe that's why in the big cities, people deal with each other very formally, because they don't want to enter into a relationship. Relationship means that generally someone will take a dominant position, even if it's only very subtle. They may be friends, but one is more dominant in their relationship. And if not, then there can be an ongoing friction between friends. That's like between Radha and Krishna. You can never really work out who's supreme. Krishna's supreme. Yeah, everyone, Krishna's supreme. But in Vrindavan, well, Radha's supreme. And then sometimes we find where Krishna says, yeah, you may be queen of Vrindavan, but I'm the Lord of all the universe. So what's Vrindavan in comparison to the whole universe? And like this, you can never really work it out who's supreme. And then put them both on this singhasan and worship them both together. Solution to the problem. But who is supreme? Is it Radha or is it Krishna? It depends. It's You could say it's practically subjective, and it goes on forever, literally, this competition. But then it's the source of all bliss, their unending lovers' quarrels. Jagadananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagadananda is a friend from childhood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's a friend, and he knows that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is supreme, he's the boss of everyone, but he's not going to be just bossed around. He does accept, yeah, okay, he ordered me to go to Navadvipa. Okay, very happy to go. I'll go to Bengal. But when Jagadananda wants to offer his love to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reluctant to accept that love in the form of scented oil, then Jagadananda, he's not just going to take it like Gadadha Pandit and just, okay, all right. He's going to make known that he's not going to take it very easily, and then that puts Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a fix also. So these are kind of relationships that in spiritual reality means they're different persons, and there's sweet, yes, but what we find, I'm going to go on to this a little later, how generally in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, they only see God as supreme. But then if we come higher to where God is equal, or even the devotee is the maintainer of the devotee, then because Krishna, when he accepts someone as his father or mother or lover, he's not a limp personality. He's a very strong personality. And there's always some tension in that. Mm. There's some tension in as much as Krishna, by his doing wrong things, like passing as a baby, he goes in someone else's house and passes stool on the floor. He's always, and then he gets a little older and he starts stealing the milk and the butter. He's always doing something contrary, but it stokes the love of his devotees. There's always some tension around Krishna. We find generally people want peace, and you find the highest peace in relation with Krishna. Well, that's peace. Okay, now I'm sheltered, now I'm settled, everything's nice. Prashanta nishesha mano nirant. Now I've come to the shelter of your lotus feet, Yamuna Acharya prays. And all the somersaults that my mind has been doing and dragging me through the mud and the thorns of material life after life, Prashanta, now very peaceful, very settled, Sanata Jivitam. Now I've got my life at the lotus feet of Krishna. I'm fully protected, fully settled, very peaceful. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Eho hoi age kohoa. All right, that's all right, but tell us some more. Tell us some, that's all right. Okay, tell us some more. Tell us some more about how we can go up, 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 up to the level where we can have lovers' quarrels with Krishna, if we're so fortunate. Or otherwise, we can at least discuss these things in awe. So, getting back to this purport and giving purport on the purport, as I've heard, Srila Prabhupada said that my disciples will write purports to my purports, and that's the glorification of an acharya, is to write sub-commentaries on his writings. So, his pure devotee, he takes greater pleasure in his pure devotees assuming the advantageous position. He takes great pleasure, more pleasure, in when his devotees take a superior position than when he takes a superior position. Since he is master, everyone is under his orders and no one is above him to order him. But when he finds that a pure devotee is ordering him, he obtains transcendental pleasure, although he is the infallible master in all circumstances. So here again, the word infallible, master, achyuta, is being used in another sense, implying that he is the Supreme Lord who is to be obeyed by everyone. But he takes pleasure in being ordered by his pure devotee, not by anyone and everyone. That's the point. Not by anyone and everyone, by his pure devotee. Now, from Gita, chapter 18, text 58, from the purport, I'm just going to read one sentence. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. Most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to our friend, who is so devotedly engaged working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada gave us a program whereby we can act 24 hours a day in the service of the Lord. And he wanted to extend that to everyone by having Varnashram communities in which we can all live doing our work and at the same time, Swakarmanatam Abhyacha. We can worship the Supreme Lord, doing our work, living among devotees, so everyone can be engaged in Krishna's service 24 hours a day. So everything we do is to please Krishna. So I'm just quoting Yamuna Acharya, and I'm going to quote Yamuna Acharya again. The relation of the Lord, the relation of the, how the devotee sees the Lord. Because we say that Krishna is doing everything to protect the devotee. But then sometimes, as in this series of talks, we've seen how Krishna, he also may put the devotees into great difficulty to showcase their love for him and to show how the devotees, they never leave Krishna, even if they're in the most seemingly intolerable circumstances. I gave the example of Draupadi, and there are so, Prahlad, there are so many. So, Yamuna Acharya, he says, praying to the Lord, O Almighty Lord, even if you make me hopeless, I can never leave your lotus feet in any condition. He gives the example, if the mother becomes angry, and the mother becomes angry and takes the child, get away from me. Then who is the child to turn to? But the mother, the little child is totally dependent on the mother. So the mother may, for some reason, may become angry and frustrated. You get away. But where will the child go? The child is crying. Where will the child go but back to the mother? This is the example by given to Yamuna Acharya. Then another example, this may seem contradictory, that a tiny child may kick the mother's chest or bite and hurt the mother's breast or perform so much mischief. But the mother never rejects the child. She might, if the child, little baby, is biting her breast in a way that hurts, she doesn't become upset. Or even if the child performs mischief, you know, Krishna, he got a little older. As soon as he got a little older, he became very naughty and then causing so much embarrassment to Mother Yashoda that her friends would come and say, hey, your little child, he's He's so naughty and doing so many bad things. Very embarrassing to Mother Yashoda. But there was no question of her rejecting Krishna. It's not like we find in the dynasty of the son prior to Rama's appearance, the boy Asamanjasa. He was such a bad boy, the heir to the throne. He would drown his friend. They were playing and he'd take them and throw them in the river and drown them. And so everyone thought, oh, what a horrible boy, and they banished him from the kingdom. Actually, that was just a show. He got banished, and then he brought all the boys back to life, sent them back to their homes, and said, thank you for banishing me. I never wanted to be the king anyway. I'm going off to the forest to do austerities and chant Hare Krishna. So what's the point I'm making here? The point is that there's no question of Mother Yashoda rejecting Krishna. The mother doesn't reject the child. The mother always loves the child. So that feeling that, Krishna, I do wrong things. I do things which are not pleasing to you. But I just want to be with you. I don't have any protector. I'm not going to go anywhere else. So you can't reject me. This is the mood of accepting Krishna as Bhaktavatsala. It's a two-way street. It's Bhaktavatsala. We have to be his devotees. Krishna will reciprocate with that. He loves so deeply those who are his devotees. That is the point. So as I was saying in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, which Yamuna Acharya is one of the several whose deep love for the Lord is reflected in the outpourings from their heart in the form of prayers, love-sodden prayers, which are still available to us today. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has paraphrased some of Yamuna Acharya's prayers from his delightful and most uplifting Stotra Ratna, Yamuna Acharya Stotra Ratna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a whole series of beautiful songs paraphrasing some of those verses in his series of songs called Yamuna Bhavavali. So their feelings for the Lord. But even then, in these sampradayas, the feelings for the Lord, they come up to this level of accepting the Lord as our maintainer in a very loving relationship. He is Bhaktavatsala. But the idea of having vatsalya toward the Lord, and beyond that even a loving relationship as lover and loved, that is very much developed in the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya. We do have in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya the devotees glorifying the feelings of Yashoda. Seeing her as seeing him as the Supreme Lord who has become her loving son. So that is there. But how we can enter into relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan, where there is sometimes an understanding of Krishna being the Supreme Lord, but it's very much subordinate to loving Krishna. Why? There's no why. Is it because of his good qualities? What good qualities? He's a thief, he's a liar, he's a cheat, he's a rake. just loving Krishna. No reason. He's Krishna. We love him. That's all we know. Beyond philosophy. Jogira dhyan nirvishesha gyan ekani napaisthiti. Sarasaki siddhi. Sarasaki siddhi. What is that? Gopi dhan. Paramachanchala sati. Jogira dhyan. Nirvishesha gyan ekani napaisthiti. The sarasiki siddhi. The natural inherent feelings of love, individual, every individual has for Krishna. That is the treasure of the gopis and everyone in Vrindavan, but especially the gopis. Swarasakis, Paramachanchala Sati, very contrary and very contrary relationship and very faithful at the same time. So this is beyond all discussion, all meditation, simply love, that's all. I'm reading from Srila Prabhupada's Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 1. On the platform of parental affection, Vatsalya Rasa, there are four qualities, in addition to the three qualities already mentioned. There is the sense that the Supreme Lord is dependent on the mercy of their devotee. As a parent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotee sometimes chastises the Lord and considers himself the Lord's maintainer. The transcendental sense of being the maintainer of the Supreme Maintainer is very pleasing to both the devotee and the Supreme Lord. But they don't go around thinking, I'm the maintainer of the Supreme Maintainer. They don't go around thinking like that. They think that they're the maintainer. If you think you're the maintainer of the Supreme Maintainer, that undermines your maintenance. It undermines the need that Krishna needs me. We are in a position, we need Krishna. But from the perspective of Yashoda, Krishna needs me. Even he doesn't realize it. But if I don't protect, if I don't say mantras to protect him, if I don't make sure Balaram is out there looking after him as he goes in the forest, if I don't call Radha and Rohini and others to cook for Krishna, make sure he has a good solid breakfast with about 200 preparations every day, then he'll get weak and thin. So I have to, completely concerned, I have to look after him. He needs me. Reading from Krishna book. Delivery of the message of Krishna to the gopis. This is the kind of devotion that, what are we doing discussing this Bhakta Vatsala? We're glorifying the Supreme Lord. But inevitably, in the course of doing so, we have to glorify the devotees, especially when we're talking about Bhakta Vatsala, because what kind of devotee is it? Is someone who's chanting their rounds and thinking of everything else in the world except Krishna? What kind of devotee is it? Reading from Krishna book. The inhabitants of Vrindavan said, by the will of the Supreme Authority and according to the results of our own work, we may take our birth anywhere. It doesn't matter where we are born, but our only prayer is that we may simply be engaged in Krishna consciousness. A pure devotee of Lord Krishna never desires to be promoted to the heavenly planets or even to Vaikuntha or Golok Vrindavan because he has no desire for his own personal satisfaction. A pure devotee regards heaven and hell to be on an equal level. Without Krishna, heaven is hell, and with Krishna, hell is heaven. Sita Devi said the same thing. Now Ram Navami is coming up, so we're meditating on Ram Leela. We should always meditate on Ram Leela, but more we can do. So Ram has to go to the forest. Yes, I'm going to the forest. And Sita, you have to stay here. How can you go to the forest with so difficult, with the rough path, and on your delicate feet? Sita Devi says to Ram the same thing. Yes, tavya sahasa swargo nirayo yas tvaya bina. Being with you, Rama, Sita says, being with you is heaven, and being without you is hell. To such a devotee, vikrini te swamatmanam, I become the property, I become sold out to such a devotee. Very high platform, huh? Well, in the next talk, I plan to talk in the next talk about very, very high level of devotion. What is Krishna Prema? That we're talking about Bhaktivatsala. What are we talking about? Bhakti. Bhakti, yes, we can begin anytime. We can begin anytime, any place. Just by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Perfect prayer. Perfect for any time, place. But how far do we have to go? We may think, yes, I'm doing nicely in devotion. Well, next time we can discuss what the acharyas have revealed to us about how far we can go in devotion. So, having said that, I will finish this talk here and pray for the mercy of the devotees who are all desire trees, who can fill the desires of those who, they can even plant in the heart of those who have no desire, some desire to be Krishna conscious. That is their great mercy. So I offer my respects to devotees. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kipa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakang padayo nipatya kritvacha kakushata metada hambravimi. Hey, sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad goranga chandra charne kurutanu ragaha parivadatu jano yatatata va nanu mokaro navayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.